Looking at the title of the message, I wish I could say it's a perfect peace that I'm feeling up here right now, but no, not really. I am excited to share with you this morning. Before I get into the message, though, I would just like to say that, you know, as my wife and I step into this new role as a pastor here at Berea. You know, while it does look a little big and intimidating in some ways, we are also excited for what God can and will do. And our desire is to serve Him first of all, and the rest of you to the best of our ability. And you know, stepping into this role might be a little bit like, you know, first riding a bike where, you know, you're a little wobbly and shaky and maybe fall down a time or two. But we appreciate your grace and patience with us as we learn this new role. We just want you to know that we, both of us, love all of you, and our desire is to serve with humility, love, and compassion. Billy Graham once said, "I am convinced that there is a great hunger of mind and thirst of soul on the part of the average man for peace with God. All humanity is seeking the answer to the confusion, the moral sickness, the spiritual emptiness, and that oppresses the world. All mankind is crying out for guidance, for comfort, for peace. The world has grown in power and in knowledge. We've crammed our heads full of facts and information. We have access to just about anything at our fingertips. Anything that we'd ever want to know is right at our fingertips, and yet our hearts remain empty. Our lives are anything but peaceful, and nothing seems to satisfy. Why is humanity empty? What does it mean to have peace? Where do we find peace? And maybe a better question is, where do we find perfect peace? Most people yearn for one thing more than anything else, and that's peace within. Without it, there is no lasting joy or security. When man first was created, he was at peace with God, with himself, and with fellow human beings. But when man rebelled against God, man lost peace in every way. And ever since that time, humanity has been in search of peace." Several months ago, I read a verse in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. And for some reason, it just really grabbed my attention. And this message came out of this study. It says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." And today, I'd like to look at three different areas of peace. And that is relational peace, psychological peace, and peace from God. You might ask, you know, what's the difference between these three? And we will look at them more in depth, but just a short summary is relational peace is peace with others, with fellow human beings. It's relationship and friendship between individuals, people groups, or countries. Sadly, too often, it's based in, "I'll love you if you love me, I'll treat you right if you treat me right," mentality. If people mistreat each other and, you know, become at odds with each other, often they become enemies with each other. And if one is enemy of another, peace, there's obviously no longer peace within that relationship. Psychological peace is to have peace of mind. It is a state of mental and emotional calmness and contentment. free from worry, stress, anxiety, and allowing you to feel at ease. And peace from God is peace within one's very heart and soul. It's bigger than our circumstances, and it reaches far beyond our understanding. With this peace, there is security, there is hope, there is rest in the turmoil of life. However, you will not experience this kind of peace without a relationship with God. This peace requires surrender and submission to God in our lives. Sadly, many people ignore or don't want anything to do with this kind of peace. While humanity as a whole desires peace, most people only want and search for peace in the realm of the first two, relational and psychological. We want peace and love in our relationships. We want peace of mind and body. We want to be emotionally stable. We want to be free from anxiety. We want to live stress-free lives. In short, we want to feel good. We want to be comfortable. We look for circumstances and things around us to bring us peace. I think often the world as a whole focuses on how we feel or how we want to feel in our mind and body, and people look in different ways to fill that. For example, they might look for it in relationships, intimacy, marriage, connection. One might have weekly visits to a psychiatrist looking for peace in their mind and emotions. Some might look to nature for peace. Some try to buy peace and happiness through money. Some might constantly run to habits or addictions when they are overwhelmed and not at peace. Leaders may want peace to make their jobs easier. Nations might look for peace through strength. Sound familiar? In my study, I found the phrase, the peace through strength. I was curious, like, what does that mean? In Latin, it has the idea, if you want peace, prepare for war. George Washington said in his 1793 State of the Union address, if we desire to secure peace, it must be known that we are at all times ready for war. I just thought that's interesting. Is that peace? Is that true peace? Lasting peace? You know, we look for peace in so many different ways, all the while ignoring the last and most important, the key to lasting peace, and that's peace from and of God. Just for fun, I did a little search online for ways that people look for peace. You know, what are the suggestions out there how do I find peace? So I wrote some of them down and condensed them a little bit, but I lost part of it here, if I can find it. Find your way to deeper self-compassion. Visualize your happy place. Okay. Breathe in, breathe out. That's a good one. I try to do that on a regular basis. Read the story you're telling yourself. Find your way to deeper self-compassion. Yoga. Practice acceptance. Acts of kindness. That's a good one, finally. Cultivate relationships. Connect with nature. Get to know your triggers. Ignore changes in your mood and behavior. Quit your inner critic. Be true to yourself. Embrace silence. I do that every night. Quit comparing. Let go of the past. Write down everything that's weighing you down and burn it and let it go. Is that a lasting solution? Regulate yourself. Challenge the dialogue in your mind. Love yourself. These are all ways like that people are looking for peace and suggestions. Today, there are many voices out there giving the solution to your stress, your anxiety, your hardships, your relationship struggles, you name it. You know, and while there might be some good steps and ideas out there, sadly, too often the advice that's given is not pointing someone to Christ. Too often the solution is only sought in the realm of relational and psychological. And we need to take the time and energy to discern if the advice given is biblical or not. When I did that search online for ways people suggested how to find inner peace, there really was no good answer. Everyone had suggestions and ideas, but no long-lasting solution. Most of it felt hollow and temporary, while often trying to find the solution within oneself. Most people try to find peace by searching for it. They try to find or channel it. They look for it within themselves or in things around them. Unfortunately, this peace never truly satisfies and often leads to ways that are harmful and sometimes ruin a person or relationships. You know, some may leave a marriage and look for a different wife or husband. Some may look for it in their addictions. Still others may try to find peace through medication to cope with life. Some may search for it with money and possessions, trying to buy happiness and ruin themselves financially. Some might push certain people out of their lives because of the hurt that they've caused them and think that will bring them the peace that they're looking for. And sadly, some ultimately look for peace by taking one's own life. Romans 8:6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." The New Living Translation says, "So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace." If we only look for peace in the realm of psychological and relational, we are searching for it in the realm of brokenness marred by sin. If we only look for peace in the realm of psychological and relational, we are searching for it in a realm of brokenness marred by sin. Now, it's not that psychological and relational peace is bad to have or wrong to have. That's not what I'm saying at all. The problem is if it's the only place that we're looking for it. It's temporary and it lives in a broken and fallen world and is not lasting or perfect or lasting peace. We must remember that a mindset that is focused on worldly, fleshly desires and pleasures to try and fill a void in our life will ultimately lead to disappointment and death. While it is true that peace does come from within us, it's not of ourselves. It is Christ in me. Colossians 1:27 says, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." It is Christ in us that transforms our lives. Christ is not some distant figure, but dwells in believers, transforming our lives and giving us a new perspective on life. True peace only comes from the source of perfect peace. There's three truths about that source. First one is perfect peace only comes from Christ. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give. Let not your heart be troubled." Notice it says, "My peace I give to you." It comes through him, Jesus. This peace is not just a concept or an idea. He is whole and complete peace. When you're searching for peace, you won't find it anywhere else but through him. True and perfect peace, is a gift. It does not have to be searched within or around us. It is a gift that Jesus gives by the finished work on the cross that now grants humans peace with and from God if we so choose. All the error, wrong, and sin that separates us from God has been completely absorbed, forgiven, and forgotten on the finished work of Jesus in the finished work of Jesus on the cross. In the last moments before his death, he uttered these words, "It is finished." And with these words, we can now have personal connection and relationship with God. Peace from God is a gift. The third one is perfect peace is not fragile. And that's exactly what he means when he says, "I don't give peace like the world." And what is the world's peace? It's circumstantial. It's temporary. It's something that has to be earned and sought for. The world says, "I can be at peace when everything is right. When my house is clean, when my children are playing quietly, when I'm having a great hair day, when I feel like I'm at my perfect weight, I've eaten healthy, I've drinking tons of alkaline water, I'm getting 9.5 hours of sleep, when my mind is at rest, all of a sudden I'm feeling on top of the world and at peace." But what happens when you don't drink enough water and you feel gross and you haven't had enough sleep and, you know, you're going through a tough time? What happens when relationships go south? When you have that serious health scare and peace is elusive? The perfect and lasting peace that we're talking about is a gift, a person, and isn't fragile and elusive. It's not just when everything around you is right. It is a state of being gifted to you through Jesus Christ. Because of time, I was gonna read Acts chapter 16. There's a story in there, but there's two men sitting in a prison. It's cold, dark, and dungy. You know, the sun is not shining in there. There's shackles on their hands and feet. They might be hungry and thirsty. They've just been whipped. They have open wounds on their back, and their situation and circumstance was anything but peaceful. And yet there was something different about these two men, so much so that it caused those around them to take notice. And that is the story of Paul and Silas. And everyone knows that story. They were put in prison and beaten, and their circumstances was anything but peaceful. But what do we see them doing at midnight? It says, "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners around them were listening." You know, what what caused these two men in the midst of a storm to sing, pray, and praise God? Their circumstances was anything but peaceful. By man's reasoning, they had every right to whine and complain about their circumstances. They should not have been feeling peace at that time. And so what was different about them? They were not looking for peace as the world gives or desires. They were seeking peace from above. And there's so many other stories in the Bible and early church history that they were literally on the brink of losing their lives and just displaying a peace that is not known to man. And so that leads us to the question, what is the nature of God's peace? Perfect peace is not necessarily the absence of conflict and pain, but an all-encompassing sense of security, rest, and hope. We know what we are living for. We know who we are living for. Salvation brings peace to your soul. Romans 15:13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Psalms 4:8 says, "I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you, O Lord, make me dwell safely." Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." The peace of God surpasses all understanding. It will guard our hearts and our minds. And it's not to say that we won't go through tough times, that we won't go through anguish, loss and grieving, that life will be easy and comfortable, but we can have security, rest, and hope that surpasses all understanding. The peace that comes only from God may be the only thing that you have to hold on to that will keep you from giving up on life. It is rest, hope, and security in our very soul. The peace that comes with salvation also brings a purpose and a mission that's bigger than ourselves and our circumstances. So how do we find perfect peace for ourselves and in our relationships? I'd like to look at a couple different ways from the Bible that gives us a path to this perfect peace. And the first one is our minds, to be kept in perfect peace, our minds must be steadfast. A steadfast mind is unwavering and fixed on God's promises. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." The very first and most important step is to be in a relationship with the Prince of Peace. Our hearts and minds must be anchored in Christ. Our minds must be stayed on him. His promise will keep us in perfect peace. We must choose to focus on the truth of God's word instead of our circumstances. Romans 8:6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." We have to remember that we will not find lasting peace in the temporal or circumstantial. If our focus is to feel good and have a comfortable life, to experience all that life, the temporal things of life has to offer, Solomon says it well, "Vanity, vanity, all is vanity." If our focus is on the carnal, it will ultimately lead to death. We must be focused on the truth of God's word and not in ourselves. To have perfect peace, we must be in step with the Spirit. Galatians 5:25 says, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. It takes a close relationship to the Prince of Peace. It is not following one's own desire and impulses. It is aligning ourselves, is aligning one's life and actions with the Holy Spirit's leading and relying on the Holy Spirit's power and guidance through life. We need to be attentive to the Spirit's leading, seeking His direction in all areas of life. And the fruit that comes from that is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. To have perfect peace, we must trust in God. This is more than just believing that He exists. We must trust in Him. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." What does He mean that He will make our paths straight? Again, this is not the absence of hardships. Rather, I believe it signifies the ever-abiding presence of God that helps us maneuver through trials and tribulations with perseverance and endurance. We align our will with His. This requires humility and a willingness to surrender our plans and desires to the sovereign will of God. In a world that values self-sufficiency and independence, Proverbs 3:6 challenges us to a different paradigm. Instead of trusting our own abilities and plans, we should trust the One who never fails. And this trust is built upon a foundation of faith and strengthened as we experience God's presence in our lives. John 16:33 says, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world." We must surrender our worries, fears, and anxiety to God and trust in Him. And that is a daily decision on our part. Perfect peace is also connected to righteousness. When we live in accordance with God's righteousness, His peace will fill our mind, soul, and hearts. The bad news is that true and perfect righteousness is not possible for man to attain on his own. The standard is just simply too high. The good news is that righteousness is possible for mankind, but only through the cleansing of sin by Jesus and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For He made Him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." What a promise. Through Christ, we are made righteous in the sight of God. And it's because of that righteousness that Isaiah 32:17 declares, "The effect of righteousness will be peace, and the result of righteousness, quietness and trust forever." Being kept in perfect peace involves God's active presence in our lives. Psalms 23:4 says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." That speaks of peace. God's presence provides peace, comfort, and security. We will fear no evil, no matter what the circumstances are around us. We can have comfort and peace. And the last one is forgiveness brings peace. When there is conflict and peace is lost in relationships, we can be tempted to think that the solution is to distance or cut off the relationship. Jesus says in Matthew 5:44, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those that curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." And that's a loaded verse. We got love, bless, do good, pray. That's all on your enemy. Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." If loving, blessing, doing good, praying, and forgiving does not heal a relationship, it will go a long way in healing and bringing peace to you. In closing, Billy Graham continued writing, "Because the Creator made us for Himself, we shall never find completeness and fullness apart from fellowship with Him." We were created for fellowship with God. Sin severed that connection and peace humanity first had with their Creator. Since that time, humanity has searched to fill that void, looking for peace and purpose in all kinds of different ways. Unfortunately, the search for peace is usually in the realm of psychological and relational, which usually results in temporary or false sense of security and peace. And that is right where the enemy wants us. We will never find true, perfect, and lasting peace apart from a relationship with Him. Isaiah 53 says, "Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form of comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement," listen carefully, "for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed." Jesus has peace to offer that transcends your reality and trumps your circumstances. He brings peace to your very soul. And he is perfect peace. Keith, I'll turn it over to you.